everybody, and welcome back to another podcast here with Coffee with Nani. I'm your host, Dr. Nani, and next to me again, like last time, is Dr. B.
Hi, how's everybody doing?
Because of this whole pandemic thing and so forth, I guess for the next few, podcasts, it will be just us talking about some stuff.
Yeah.
Because, we can call other people, but the sound quality is not as great as we were hoping to. So, but we were trying to fix this. We're trying to, figure something out for you guys. So it's not just us two boring people talking all the time.
But we're not boring.
I hope not. Hopefully not. So, today we have something basically very acute, you can say. And all those things which we're going to talk about, the biggest problem is they might change again. Because when we were starting this whole process, it was one thing, and now to talk a different thing. And the thing we want to talk about is the Surat Ijin Keluar Masuk, or short SIKM, which translated means entry permit.
No, actually, it's officially called the Jakarta Province Area Exit and Entry Permit, or Entrance Exit Permit.
Yeah, interesting how it's just for Jakarta, for the capital.
Yeah.
There is nothing like that for East Java, which right now is a really huge hotspot.
Yeah.
With Surabaya. So, it's interesting that it's just Jakarta. But maybe that's because that after Ramadan, a lot of people went back to their home village. And now they're fearing because they went back, they might return to Jakarta as well. Could that be maybe?
It could be a reason. That could be a reason. But... the funny thing is some areas in Jakarta, in Java are not really that affected, So it should be more selected. But that goes back to the local government of Jakarta, I guess.
Yeah. And we are right now in Joksha, and Joksha does not seem to be too affected. Of course, we have cases here, but even the local transmission here seems to be relatively under control.
It's quite low, and it doesn't seem like the hospitals are too overwhelmed with cases.
Yeah, so there seems to be, Joksha seems to be okay. But you have to go back to Jakarta soon.
Yes. So basically, the Jakarta Province Area Exit and Entry Permit, only 11 businesses or sectors are allowed to apply for this. Anything else will be rejected.
So they've done already pre-selections of those sectors. Okay,
yeah.
What are those 11 sectors now?
Okay, so first is health, of course.
Which affects us, basically.
Yeah, a lot of doctors and nurses and technicians need to go back and forth from several provinces or cities, for work. Second is food.
Which also does make sense.
Yeah, people need to eat.
Yeah.
Third is energy, which also makes sense. If the... BLN, the National Electricity Company, they need to be mobile. Next is communication and information and technology. I assume this is more towards cell phones and stuff,
Okay, if you're talking about antenna and things like that,
Next is finance, which kind of makes sense, but I assume
why can't you do finance online?
I have no idea. So,
okay.
But a lot of things, maybe if in the more rural areas, in villages, you don't really have internet access.
That could be a case. Maybe nothing too stable. Yeah. Okay.
Or maybe even just something really simple, right? What do you call those those people that top up the ATMs? No, the ATMs.
Oh, the money transport.
Yeah, the money transport and stuff like that. Maybe that
could
has something.
Yeah, it could be.
Next is logistics.
Okay, that ought to make sense.
Yeah, and next is hotels. People who work in hotels.
I don't necessarily understand that.
Yeah,
because
I know.
A lot of Blatiant, like online courses, like webinars, you can currently do online. Even for us in medicine, we do a lot of online things now, to teach and to bring the information out. Not sure what the policy are behind hotels, but a lot of people are hoping that the hotel sector is going to open soon for tourism. So maybe that's somehow included.
Okay, next is construction.
That totally does make sense, yes.
Next is strategic industries. I don't really know what this means, but I assume it might have to do something with intelligence, So it could be that or something else. Next is basic public services, like utilities, water and gas and so forth.
But doesn't that also fall partially under energy?
It could be, I don't know how they put it up, but these are the criterias that they put up anyways. And then lastly is daily needs, you know, like eggs. And I guess that goes down to food too. But, you know, maybe...
toilet paper.
Yeah, no, Indonesians don't use toilet paper. Real Indonesians don't use toilet paper.
But I think, I mean, if you're really forcing it, I think any type of profession would somehow fit in one of those
11s. Yeah, I mean, and in the end, the person who decides to give you this permit or not, well, they will go one by one through each and every, form and everything like that. So
I wonder how many permits I receive a day. It would be interesting to see the statistics of how many.
What I read two days ago, is that they have already received, was it 14,000 requests?
And how many permissions have they granted?
They've only granted almost 2,000.
Out of 14?
Yeah, and they've rejected 4,000.
Okay, what was the rest? What's
that? It was still in the process, you know, which is going to take forever. So you guys have to be really patient, I guess.
I guess it's a manpower problem then, yeah, in that sense.
Yeah, it seems like that. So there are two types of entry permits, right, or exit permits. One is a one-time trip for exit or entry to Jakarta, and then the other one was a multiple trip or exit. Exit or entry permit.
So, one second. So, if you leave Jakarta, you also need this, since it's called exit?
Yes. Yes, you need this.
So, that means you are...
You have to apply for the multiple trip then. Not just... You need it once to exit or once to...
Enter.
That's it. A single trip or multiple trip.
Okay.
It's not double, you know. It doesn't... It's not round trip.
Hmm.
Okay? So, this covers the area of Jakarta.
The
cities of Jakarta, sorry. Because there's Jakarta. It's Central Jakarta, North Jakarta, East, West, and South Jakarta.
I'm still getting confused with that, to be very honest. It's huge.
Plus, this also includes, if you want to enter or exit, Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, and Bekasi, basically.
So the whole DKI.
Yeah, the DKI.
DKI, sorry.
Yeah, DKI.
Yeah, I'm... Yeah.
Daerah Khusus Ibu Kota.
Oh, okay. So the whole province then.
Yeah. So...
I mean, if you want this information, or even if you want to apply and find all those things, you can also go under corona.jakarta.go.id. And they have an English version there as well.
Yeah.
So there's an Bahasa Indonesia version as well as an English version.
They have two options on the top right of the website, and you just choose which one you want, which is comfortable.
So there you have to select one of those 11 criteria, and will send you to the...
Well, no, you don't have to do that. Actually, you just click onto this yellow button that says apply for SIKM or apply for SEKM.
Okay.
And then there will be another pop-out... Right?
But that then is in Bahasa.
Yeah, there's going to be a pop-out, and it'll be in Bahasa, and it says, perhatian, blah, 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 terima kasih. It says, tidak setuju, or saya setuju, click on saya setuju.
Which means, I agree. So
I agree.
Mainly means that you are above 12 years old, and you know the laws.
Yeah.
And the regulations.
Yeah, and it states that you are an adult, basically, more or less. Right? And everything is online, basically, right? So first of all, you have to input your data, your personal data, like your...
Which does make sense. Which name, phone number.
Yeah. First of all, you have to input if you're an Indonesian citizen or not.
Oh, the Waranegara Indonesia and Waranegara Asin.
And then after you choose, let's choose that you're a foreigner, you know, or an expat. And then you have to input either your passport number, your visa number, or your kitab number, your phone, and so forth, where you're born. And one thing is important, your personal email. And it's just one email. Several people have had problems because they input a couple of email addresses, work and private. You know, just put in your private one. And then after that... your address and your RT, RW, and your postcode and so forth, right? Okay, so after that, you click on berikutnya, or which means next, and this is where you have to upload a scanned version of your kitab or your KTP or whatever, your passfoto, you know, Indonesians love passfoto.
Yeah, they do that. I mean, yeah. And then if you're coming already prepared with your passfotos, you still have the wrong one because it has to be a certain background. I find it fascinating with the red background, the blue background. I still, up to this date, have not figured out the purpose of all this because usually when I take a passport in Germany, it's just like a whitish gray background, like very neutral.
I think it has to do with like the date you were born or something like that. So they could categorize it easily, but I could be wrong. Okay, so next, it's after your photo, you have to do a surat pengantar, which this is one thing important. If you're located outside of Jakarta, you need a surat from the lurah or from the desa, from the head of the village or the lurah.
You are in right now or you are...
You're outside going in to Jakarta.
Yeah, but you need it from the lurah where you are currently stated
Wherever you are.
Okay.
Wherever you are, okay? And or if you want from Jakarta, if you want to go out, you need a letter from your RT or your RW.
So which is like the
the neighborhood.
The neighborhood's elder.
Yeah, well, not elder, a neighborhood organization, basically.
Yeah, okay, but like it's...
Yeah, it's because sometimes these RT, RW are younger than you.
I know, you know, but it's usually it's the ones which are in charge of that area. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So and then you scan that and then upload that. And then next, you could download the form on the previous page, and there will be a letter that you have to fill out that says that surat pernyataan sehat. And you have to just fill out the form. It basically, this letter says that you are healthy.
So you fill it out.
You confess that you are healthy.
Not a doctor.
No, you fill it out yourself. But... there is an area next to your signature where you have to put a stamp, basically, a matre, which costs 6,000 matre.
So, because otherwise you can just lie and say, like, of course, I haven't had fever, I haven't had all done this, but with this matre, it's legally binding.
Yes. So, the next is the surat tugas undangan dari instansi or perusahaan. So, if you have a letter from your company, this is for number 5, if you have a letter from your company... you have to scan it and upload it.
So is it just a letter saying that you are working there or is it a letter saying that the company needs you back?
It could be both. You know, basically it's a letter that states that you work there and your business or your work requires you to going back and forth or come back to Jakarta, the main office or something like that.
How about, let's say you are in Jakarta, you're working for several clinics or hospitals, but me as your wife... I would like to go as well, but I don't have a company sponsoring me.
Oh, okay. So we could go to the next criteria, which is a personal sponsor.
Okay, so a person can also sponsor another family member. It does not have to be a company.
No. It could be a personal sponsor as well.
But it has to be like in like the inner family circle?
Or yes, it has to be the nucleus family.
Okay. Okay, what's the next one?
So then? Next one is basically a letter that specifically states that you work in this company and for how long, basically, or a surat perjalanan dinas, a letter that states. I know it's a bit.
It's a bit double, isn't it?
Double, but one that says
you work there.
You work there, and another one that says what you do for the work. You know,
so to be actually see,
it's more specific, basically, right?
If you actually need it, if you fall under those 11 criteria, maybe. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so this one is more specific, basically. Okay, so let's go to the seventh one.
Just to repeat it again, it has to be 2 different letters. It cannot be one letter saying both things same time.
No.
Okay.
So one is that you actually work here and how long have you been working there? And then the next one is like, what is your job description, basically?
Okay, so you need 2 letters from the employee then.
Yeah. Okay. So the next one, number 7, is for people that actually live outside of Jakarta.
Also, maybe somebody that brings the logistics in. So if you're living in, I don't know, let's say Surabaya, and you have to drive to Jakarta to deliver the goods, whatever those goods are in that sense.
Or if you actually have, if your ID is located outside of Jakarta, like me.
Which is in a lot of cases, yeah. Yeah,
and I have a house in Jakarta, like me, you know, so I might have to also apply for this. Upload basically either a letter from your RT and RW from Jakarta or a Kelurahan. One or the other.
The Kelurahan is the next higher level than the RW.
But I think if the RW is right next to your house, it's easier just to do that.
Yeah, instead of going somewhere else. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And then this is number 8, which is, I think, is really, really interesting. So let's say you had a relative that's really sick, that's on his or her deathbed. You can actually visit your relative in Jakarta, but you need a letter from the hospital stating that the condition of your relative.
So let's say like person A is like really sick.
Terminal
ill, cancer, last stage, only like a few more days to live. So the hospital can say this is patient A's condition, blah, blah, blah. And then, but how many people does it state?
One person basically.
Oh,
it's just one person. No, it's basically when you're applying this, there's also options to add people in your letter.
So you can add on like
your wife or your children. You know, there's an option to do that on the top when you input your identification, basically.
So you don't have to, let's say like your family, like us, we're 5 people. We don't have to do this 5 times.
No. Just either the husband or the wife does it once. And then bring everybody else along.
Okay, that does make sense.
Okay, so number 8 is basically if there's an emergency at a hospital, a medical emergency, you're located outside of Jakarta, you can get into Jakarta with a letter from the hospital. And you just upload this as well.
That's a nice thing. I mean, that's one thing I really would not have thought about in the first moment.
Yeah.
So that they actually put this on the list, I think is a great thing that they actually considered something like that. Okay. That's great.
So finally, number 9 is there's two more. Number 9 is basically a surat pernyataan penjamin di atas materai. So like the case that we were talking about, let's say I was in Jakarta and you were located in Jogja or somewhere else, I could be your personal sponsor.
Okay.
To allow you
to come in.
To come to Jakarta. Again, you need a matre next to your 6,000 matre, a stamp next to your signature, and then you could upload it from here.
That's interesting that they're having here that you have to use a matre, where in these other cases you don't have to use one.
Yeah, that is. Well, I mean, I think like for companies, you don't really, because they have they're already a legal institution already.
Yeah, but you know? Still, like, I mean, I find it interesting, like, sometimes the reasoning behind it, I mean, it's, I guess they're having their own laws and yeah, arguments, which we don't always understand. So, yeah.
The last one actually is just for construction companies, which I find really interesting because you do have seasonal workers that have to come in and out of Jakarta. They usually live in Java, in central Java or East Java. And it's basically a letter from the chairperson of the construction company saying that, yeah, you do work in Jakarta and you're working at a construction site temporarily as a worker there, and you have to upload that as well.
That's interesting. And I wonder if you do construction, I mean, logically speaking, there should be also like new regulations now, but then if you're lifting heavy things, You need a lot of people on a confined space because you're lifting something heavy.
And that's what's happening in Singapore right now. So it's the first really major outbreak was in the workers' dorms.
Yeah, because they were like staying very crowded, no AC. It was pretty bad, it is still pretty bad. It's
still really bad.
So I hope Indonesia has learned from Singapore, and they're having really like strict regulations
in place. But it seems like a lot of people do not, mostly Indonesians, do not want to go back to Jakarta for the time being, especially from the lower middle class, because, you know, they're really pessimistic about getting work. Yeah, the uncertainty. So I mean, I don't think this would be too much of a problem.
No, but it's going to be interesting anyways, and see how the workforce is going to develop in the next few months. I mean, everybody's talking about the new normal. I've read some articles saying that they're actually scared because it's going to go back to the old normal, not the new normal.
Yes, that's hopefully that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Okay, so you have uploaded the things you needed, the things required.
You submit, there's an orange button, you submit the form.
Okay.
And
then what happens then?
You have to be really patient. Because a few times when I tried to submit it, the website crashed. But luckily, after two times, I tried to do it. The third time was the charm, and I could upload it. And apparently, on the first website, you know, the corona.jakarta.go.id, you can't input your cell phone number to check the status of your application. How's it doing, you know? But
that's good.
The problem is that this also crashes from time to time.
I guess, like you mentioned earlier, there have been 14,000 people trying to apply.
Yeah.
Depending on what server they used. They might have not anticipated that huge amount of people applying. But the interesting thing is, although things, there was so far no rapid test required.
Oh, okay. This is something else. So each mode of transportation that I've asked require you to do a rapid test or a swab.
And that's the interesting thing. There is no general consensus so far, or like what we have found.
Yeah.
I've read a regulation that the rapid test is only valid for 3 days.
Yeah. But then, so Garuda requires, if you want to travel into Jakarta with Garuda or CityLink, they require you to have a rapid test that's been done a maximum of 3 days.
3 days prior, yes.
Yes, prior. So,
and you're supposed to have this letter. If you do not have this letter, which is also very interesting, but this is only for Garuda. I don't know for other airlines.
It seems to be for the other airlines as well.
You are being required to self-quarantine in given hospitals. Oh, sorry. In given hotels. Yes, I'm sorry. But those are like all 5-star hotels. It's with like several Mercures, the Pullman Central Park, which was really interesting to me. I don't know if they force you to go there, if they're accompanying you to go there and actually checking on you.
There might be people waiting at the airport to take you to these hotels.
If you do not have this SEKM or this like Surat Izin Keluar Masuk to Jakarta.
The entry exit permit.
Yes. And then since those hotels were already listed on the Garuda website and the, you can also like look in several newsletters. I'm sure they're working already together with those hotels, and that there is maybe like a somebody actually checking if you're really staying in a hotel room or if you're going out or not.
Yeah, I know. I don't know the technical aspects about that, but it seems to be very interesting. I mean, but you know, that's a staycation. You know, like staying 2 weeks in the Pullman sounds pretty good, unless you're stuck there and you can't leave the room.
That's the thing. We don't know if you have to stay in the room or if you can go outside.
Bring some games if you're a gamer or a PS4 or whatever.
But it's also like, I'm sure you have to pay it yourself.
Yes,
like,
of course.
So it might actually be easier to go through this hassle of applying for the SEKM. It seems a lot. It seems not easy, which on one hand I like. Because if it's easy, then a lot of people will just go ahead and apply for those things.
Yeah, that's one thing that actually calms me, you know. Like, it's really hard to get this letter, you know. But if it's easy, it would be out of control.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you need a rapid test or like a swab, like you mentioned.
Oh, yeah. If you want to go by train, you need two rapid tests between 7 days, if I'm not wrong.
I mean, medically speaking, we're saying you take a rapid test today, and the second rapid test should be 7 to 10 days later. So you have to actually choose. A swab it can only be done like once. That's enough, because for a swab you're actually looking for the virus being present, whereas a rapid test checks how your body has been responding to the disease, and it can also detect if you already had it.
Mm.
So from an epidemiological point of view, I really like it that they're requiring this, because that means more and more people are being tested and they're painting a better picture, because Indonesia so far has not tested, in my opinion, enough people compared to other countries.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So if you're considering of getting this permit, I would suggest for you to do everything maybe 10 days in advance, getting all the requirements and everything else 10 days. It will take you about a week to 10 days to get everything ready.
Because you have to go to the Lurah, to the Kelurahan, to other things, to the hospital. It takes time, yes.
Okay.
Okay, guys, I hope this was informative to you guys. Not too boring, because
yes, it's very technical.
It's very technical, and we had to like list all those things. Maybe one thing we have to mention as well is the front page is in English, but like we mentioned earlier,
there's a pop-up page on the website, And it's in Bahasa Indonesia.
So if you have struggled with this, I hope at least this video kind of helped you to clarify your, this podcast kind of helped you to clarify a few points if your Bahasa Indonesia is not as fluent. If you still have trouble, then maybe you can ask a Indonesian person to just help you out.
A colleague at work or whatever.
It's actually very straightforward. But still, like, if your Bahasa is insufficient, you will need help for this. But hopefully we were able to shine a bit of light into this whole application process. And yeah, we will be back with a new podcast next week.
Okay.
So see you guys.
Bye.
Bye.